Today I'm talking about one truth, one gospel. One truth, one gospel. Everybody say that. One. Today we're going to start a new series. It's actually going to take us all the way up to at least December, if not close to Christmas. Because I'm going to walk us through the book of Galatians. We're going to walk through that together. I love topical teaching. I love having points in the sense of a three-week or four-week lesson training. But there's something about systematic Bible training that is helpful and beneficial, I believe, for the church. And so we're going to look at Galatians and walk through it, and we'll be reading the entire book together. So if you've actually never read an entire book of the Bible, well, by December, you'll have one down. I'm telling you, go ahead and read the entire book. It's just six chapters, and you can read it. And this week, I'm covering the first half of chapter one. Next week, I'll look at the second half, so you can jump ahead of me. Read it. See what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. One of the reasons that I chose the book of Galatians is because culturally in Galatia at that time, the gospel was being distorted just like it is in our culture today. By the way, there's nothing new under the sun. They were dealing with this 2,000 years ago. We still deal with people distorting the gospel. The people in Galatia were drifting, even the churches, and that's why he sends this to the churches, because they're drifting from the faith, and Paul did not want to let that happen without a fight. And church, I'm not going to let you drift without a fight. This letter, you're probably going to sense the urgency and the intensity with what the Apostle Paul is writing with. In fact, at the very beginning of his letter, Paul really has a very brief version of the many niceties that he usually has at the, you know, grace and peace and all that. He's usually a little more elaborate with that, but he has it very tight because right after those greetings, the letter deals with a problem. And he's not going to let up on that issue until he makes his point. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul is going to show us that the gospel, the one truth, the one gospel, the good news, is not just about how to be saved, but the gospel is about how we're to live our life for the Lord. It's about finding joy, it's about freedom, but it's also about transformation. Now, the core issue of the book of Galatians is that there were teachers who were undermining the message of grace. They were wanting to make the gospel full of works. And they were saying, boy, if you're a true believer, then you would do these things. And church, if you don't understand grace, then people begin to make hoops for others to jump through before they can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, you got to do this. And if you do this, well, that's not the way it works. If we do it that way, we can push people away from God rather than inviting them to drink deeply from His mercy and His grace. So let's get started this morning. Verse 1 of Galatians chapter 1. Reading from the New International Version, it reads this way: Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now listen carefully to the next verses, because this is where Paul begins to identify the problem he's dealing with in the letter. Verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Verse 10, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Heavenly Father, would you just speak to our hearts today and help us as we walk through this and bring clarity to what this is all about as we live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, in today's culture, if this passage is read, which I just read to you, which is truth, in his day, he would have been, or today, he would be reprimanded and criticized for this kind of statement today, believing that Jesus is the only way. In fact, these verses today would be considered hate speech. I'm being honest with you. It used to be, church, that tolerance meant you respected the person's right to hold a different opinion than you may have. But today, when people talk about tolerance, what they mean is they want you to see every idea as having equal validity. In other words, somehow we are to believe that all belief systems are equally true, even though they contradict each other. That doesn't even make sense. By the way, would you not put a coexist bumper sticker on your car? It doesn't work. I cannot believe in all of those things because they contradict each other. They do not work together. That is why the idea that there's only one way to heaven today is thought to be offensive in our culture. We're considered to be narrow-minded. But I want you to know something. You can throw all the insults you want at the truth that Jesus is the only way, but it will never change what the Bible says. In fact, here's some other scriptures that are extremely clear. John 14:6, Jesus himself, truth says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. How? Except through me. Acts, when they're preaching to the churches, in Acts 4, it said, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in what? No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Paul is writing to the young pastor Timothy, and he's instructing him, and once again in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. Paul, early on in his letter to the Galatians, is saying basically this: any teaching that is different from the gospel of Jesus Christ is a false teaching. And church, false teachings will lead people to hell, not to heaven. The true message of Christianity is this: God has provided a way of salvation, and that way, the only way, is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul is trying to be so clear in this letter, because he knows that understanding the gospel is so vital. The gospel is not something that is tailored to your desires or your fancies or your whim. Hear what Paul says in verse 10 again. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings? Church, if we want to please people and win their approval, we could change the way we do things and probably fill the place up. We just need to have a concert and just they're going after it. I'm talking about ungodly stuff. But are we trying to get their approval or of God's? Or we tried to please people. And Paul says, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Church, you have to understand this gospel is probably by some people going to be rejected. And the Bible is very clear that they reject Jesus. And if you haven't gotten a clue so far, it's amazing. You can speak and say any other name, any other religion, and nobody gets all up in arms, or we're afraid they really will. But you say something about Jesus in the workplace, and everybody's like, whoa. Get a clue. There must be power in that name. And Satan doesn't want it spoken. But we'll speak it clearly. Let's go back to verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible to kind of expand it and let you kind of hear what's being said. Paul, an apostle, special messenger appointed and commissioned and sent out, not from any body of men, nor by or through any man, but by and through Jesus Christ the Messiah and God the Father who raised him from among the dead. All the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace and spiritual blessing be to you and soul peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Let me pause for a moment. When you read Scripture, and whenever you see the title of Lord Jesus Christ, and some translations don't put it all there, but there are three titles of him. One is his position. You can go back to verse 2, I believe. Or there it is. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord is his rulership. Jesus is his name, but Christ is his position. He was the Messiah. That's why it's so clear that it's not just the Jesus. He was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was, and now he's Lord. Amen? Verse 4, who yielded himself up to atone for our sins and to save and sanctify us in order to rescue and deliver us from this present wicked age and world order in accordance with the will and purpose and plan of our God and Father. To him be ascribed all the glory through all the ages of the ages and the eternities of the eternities. Amen. So be it. Now, at the very beginning of the letter, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul identifies himself as the author. He's been called. He's been mandated by God, not by man. And then he kind of gets right to the point, and I don't want you to miss this key phrase because it's of importance to us. It's life-saving truth, and sometimes in greetings we can read over it. But after Paul clarifies his call, he clearly states something very important, and it's that Jesus was raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul points to the resurrection as the pivotal or essential truth of the Christian faith. And here in Galatians, Paul is reaffirming the resurrection in the very first verse. Because there are people who want to remove the resurrection. Oh, Jesus was a prophet. He was a good man. He was this. He was that. But church, he died and he rose again. Because a Christ who is not risen from the dead is not a true Christ. And church, I affirm this every Easter. We re-celebrate it, and throughout the entire year, we talk about Jesus is alive. But sadly, there's far too many people who do not believe he literally rose from the dead. You need to understand that Jesus did not just pass out on the cross. He didn't have a near-death experience. Church, Jesus died. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead by God the Father. In fact, we are told that he was seen by over 500 witnesses over a 40-day period. And by the way, he did not die again. In fact, the witnesses testified that they saw him rise up into the heavens. Church, The resurrection makes Jesus someone worth following. Amen? Next in the gospel for this truth, he tells us in verse 4 some important information. New Living Translation says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from the evil world in which we live. Church, Jesus gave his life for our sins. This is fundamental to the gospel message. Church, we were lost in our sins. We were drowning in sin. We couldn't save ourselves. The law couldn't save us. But what reason? We can't keep the law. And Paul is going to hit this theme again and again throughout Galatians. Now, someone once said, imagine a person drowning. It doesn't help them at all if you throw a manual to them on how to swim. You don't throw them teaching. You throw them a rope. And when it comes to salvation and people drowning in their sin, that rope is Jesus for those who are drowning. You just don't throw teaching at them. You give them Jesus. God sent his only son to pay the penalty for our sin. With his life, he was our substitute. We are not saved by earning it, by doing certain things. We're saved because we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. We believe he came to rescue us. And what he did for us, we could not do for ourselves. And the Bible calls that love. God so loved the world. In fact, it was God's plan from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden to the end of time. God's plan has always been to redeem anyone who would put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And this salvation not only saves us from hell and offers us heaven, but church, you need to know this salvation is meant to deliver us now. In the life we live now. In fact, hear verse 4 again. Jesus gave his life for our sins. Amen. Just as God our Father planned. Amen. In order to rescue us from what? This evil world. In what? In which? Where are you living? Are you living in heaven? In fact, a lot of people call it the other thing. Church, he came to deliver us and set us free from what's going on even right now. What Christ did is he didn't just erase our sin debt. He made it possible for us to live the life that God created for us to live. To be in harmony with God the Father. Listen, grace doesn't just set you free from indulging in sin without consequence. Sin has consequence. Grace set you free from being enslaved by sin. And now being free from that enslavement, we should want to live the way God designed for us to live. Today we can choose how we're going to follow the way of Christ instead of the world. We can choose forgiveness over bitterness. You tell me where the world lives. I hear people even say, I don't want forgiveness. They want to stay bitter. They want revenge. They want to get back and pay back. And church, that's not the way we live. Not in this evil world. We are saved for something even greater. We are saved to be people who forgive. And love over hate. Obedience over rebellion, good over evil, hope over despair. Christ ruling in our lives is not just for some future day. Church, it starts right now. He rules. The kingdom of God is right here, right now, in our lives today. Yes, Jesus is going to come back one day. But for now, we must, by faith, be faithful in all we do to serve King Jesus now. Why do we do it? Because of verse 5. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Paul is saying all the credit for our salvation goes to God. All the credit. The idea of salvation was not our idea. Did you know that? Church didn't come up and go, I got this idea. I think we're going to have church and get people saved. This is God's idea. The implementation of the plan was through Jesus, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. We didn't institute and initiate the plan. God did. So God deserves what? All the glory. And whenever we try to add something to the gospel, we're actually taking away from the glory of God. He gets all the glory. All the credit for our salvation goes to God. And so Paul is trying to explain this gospel to us, as he will several more times, so don't get tired of hearing it. This is so important for us to lay the foundation. But the question today is this the gospel that you hold to? How many of you are U of M fans? Raise your hand. Woo. How many are State fans? What you just did, I'll refer to in just a moment. U of M fans, how would you like to wear a Ohio State Buckeye shirt? Wouldn't that just be the thing? I mean, come on, U of M, talk back to me for a moment. Is that what you want? All right, State fans, would you like to wear a U of M shirt? Yes, we would, some said. Typically, and vice versa, do you want to wear State, U of M? No. We tend to not do that. It was interesting, your response. It is amazing to me, you don't want to do that because you don't want to betray your loyalty. But church, it amazes me how passionate people are about their loyalties to a college team. What if we were that passionate about our devotion to the true gospel of Jesus Christ? That's why I say you cannot mix stuff together like the coexist. You need to be clear in your walk before others so that they know what you believe. I want true colors to shine where my loyalty is. You see, the church in Galatia was drifting from that truth. And the same thing could happen to us if we're not careful to stay to the truth. Whether you know it or like it or understand it, many in the church are susceptible to false teaching today, and it's because they don't know what the real truth is. And that's why I'm encouraging you, get involved in discipleship. Get involved on Wednesday nights. Get involved in a small group. Get connected. You need to be founded in what you believe. You need to learn the truth. During the weeks ahead, I'm going to do my very best to clearly walk through Galatians with you and define this gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means for our lives. And the reason I'm doing it is because today there are many distortions of the gospel, even among professing Christians. There are churches that bear the name of Jesus who have added stuff to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now it is a false doctrine. And it's not leading them to Jesus. And anytime they preach a false gospel, it does more to glorify man than it does to glorify God. That's why we're just staying with the Word. I want to underscore two things this morning as we close. First of all, we must remind ourselves that salvation is all about grace. Nobody in this place did anything to earn your salvation. You just received it, if you did anything. Would you go ahead and come? If we don't understand this is all about grace, then we'll create stuff for people to do. Well, you got to dress this way. You got to be this way. You got to act this way. Church, people can come here however they want. God loves them just like they are. It's all about grace. We were saved through Christ alone. And church, this is probably the most liberating truth you will ever understand if you can get it. It's that God loves you right now. He is not waiting for you to be better. The problem is in our relationships, especially in the early dating relationships that we have with others that we so call love, we do stuff because we want to see if we can get their love. We try to win the love of others. This is not the way the gospel works. God loves you just the way you are. But he also loves you enough that he doesn't want you to stay that way. God will make us better as we grow. That comes along the path. Because salvation is not dependent upon our performance. It's based on what Christ did at the cross for us. A second thing you need to understand is our effort at living the life of discipleship is the result and expression of God's grace. Church, I don't live the grace life to get grace because I received it. Therefore, I live for Him. Church, we ought to want to live holy lives. That ought to be the desire of your heart. In fact, when sin wants to creep in, you ought to feel the shame and the guilt because it's not representative of who we are any longer. Because we bear the name of Christ and because we belong to God, we are children of God, and therefore, since we have a holy God, we should be holy. We should desire that. And you should desire that people in your personal world would really hear this gospel of Jesus Christ. But the reason many of them don't understand it is because you don't understand it. Because you don't understand what grace has been in your life. And it's hard for you to really give it and share it with somebody else if you don't know it. If you will stay with me for these weeks, hang in here. Because church, we've got to lay the foundation because things are shaking around us. And we've got to hold to truth. I trust that our study in Galatians will lay a solid foundation for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you miss a week, you can catch up. Please don't just say, well, when I get to church. Why don't you just keep growing every week? We have podcasts that you can listen to. We have Wednesday night's podcast, and we have it on video if you want to watch it on video. All of them are listed there because I want to keep you growing. But do you want to grow? Do you want to secure the foundation? Church, I want us to live a Jesus-filled life. This gospel, back up, this gospel is wonderful good news. It is good news. And I want people to have so that the reason is so we can live this Jesus-filled life. I don't want it to be just a teaching I throw at you, but I'm throwing you a rope for you to grab hold of today. Something you can hang on that's tangible and real. Because I'm telling you, my soul sings. I love him. And I love him because he first loved me. I don't love him to get his love. I love him because he loved me. In our relationship, we struggle with that because we're trying to reciprocate that love. And I don't know about your marriage, but marriage is work. And if you think yours is better than mine, please help me. It's work. But I'm willing to work at it. Why? Because I'm in covenant with my wife. I have covenanted with her. I have vowed to her. And that's in the natural. I'm talking about the spiritual covenant. How true is that? Is he the only way? Or are you questioning it? Let's come back to truth. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you're in this room and you haven't really made that dedication to Jesus, or maybe you've drifted away, you've listened to other teaching, and you need to get back on path today, you can receive it. He forgives you. He doesn't hold it against you. He loves you. And he's welcoming you home. Whether you're a prodigal son or just a lost sheep, he loves you today. And if you would just slip up your hand, balcony, main floor, you can put it right back down. But I want to pray with you. And we're going to ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives again. Is there anyone? I'm looking around. The balcony, main floor, yes, ma'am. Is there anyone? Yes, ma'am. Is anyone else? Just glancing. Yes, sir. Thank you. I want everybody to pray with me this morning because we're going to lay this foundation again. And the Lord's going to help us, but it starts right here, making him Lord. And for many of us, would you just rededicate today? Even as you pray with me, don't let it just be words that you're repeating, but words from your heart, words from your life today. Say, I surrender. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I do surrender my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me clean. Today, Lord, I choose to live for you. I want to serve you. And I open my heart to the teaching of your word. Show me the way to live a holy life and represent you well in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 If you don't understand, that clap was two things. It was saying to those who lifted your hands, welcome. Welcome. The clap is also a praise of thanksgiving because all glory goes to God. All glory. So, church, I want us to walk through this together. It's going to be systematic. And some of you probably are like, man, I've been waiting for that. Others is like, wow, that's going to take us that long. But if you'll just hang in, I believe that God's got some really good stuff for us. When we get to chapter 5, there's a list of some bad stuff that we've put away, church. And I hope you'll jump ahead of me and say, wow, have I dealt with all that in my life? Because he goes on and he lists these fruits of the Spirit that are supposed to be just bubbling out of our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. Just out of my life, because the Spirit now is in us. And he wants to develop the church so that it's true. It's got one truth, one gospel. Because, church, I want your personal world to be impacted by your life. As much as some of you want it, some of you may not even know what I'm talking about yet. But as we walk through this, I'm believing when those fruits begin to pour out, you begin to bear them, people are going to say, why? And you're going to know the true understanding of grace. And you're going to share with them. And I believe you're going to see people in your personal world come to know Jesus. Because he's the only way. The only truth. Heavenly Father, have your way in our lives. Teach us through these weeks. Show us as we live for you the way we should live. We're going to live for the King. Use us in our particular places to bring you glory. And Lord, help us to be careful to add nothing to what you have offered, but just to share what you've given so freely. We freely give. In Jesus' name, amen. To those who invited Jesus, maybe a rededication, but would you tell somebody? Don't let it be secret. Tell somebody about it. And if you're not in a discipleship place and you need discipleship, ask our pastoral staff, ask me, ask the information desk, where can I get involved? Where can I grow? We've got discipleship class coming. We got Wednesday night men's and women's and sanctuary class. We have training for boys and girls and for teenagers and young adults. Listen, we're here to equip you to walk a God-harmony life every day. Amen? Amen. So have a Jesus-filled week as you bring him glory. God bless you.